Here we go, world.
Music is no longer irrelevant. Music is
capital.
Wow. The sound of London.
Capital Radio.
London, England. Home of the world's greatest secret agent.
Johnny Vaughan, Capital Breakfast Show. I love it. It's great. Thank you.
This is the way it's going down.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the eighth wonder of the world.
Good morning. You're now listening to Johnny Vaughan.
Capital.
Capital Radio.
And the beat goes on.
Rhythmically, tempo.
The beat, fantastic.
You ready?
The crowd going crazy.
Woo! What's up? How y'all doing out there?
Y'all cut it up.
Yo, what up?
You are listening to
Capital
95.8.
It's awesome.
And now, ladies and gentlemen,
let's learn how to play
the drums.
Listen to this. Rock and roll. How about
athlete?
We have
Avril Lavigne.
And now
this is James Blunt.
You're listening to Capital 95.8, the sound of London.
Music is
action.
It's basically this intangible thing that reaches its hand down my throat
through my esophagus and just plays with the strings of my heart.
You're listening to Capital 95.8, the sound of London.
Shut up and drive.
Capital Radio.
Oh my god, it's amazing. It sets you free, and when you dance to it,
it gets you moving.
It just makes me want to move.
It helps people to connect with what's going on.
Bring it back, bring it back.
This is London's hit music station,
Capital Radio, London.
Okay, so tell me about that. You said that you lived in LA for a few years, then you came back to Australia, and then you continued to do KISS for, I guess it was another 5 years or so. Was there a big break between KISS and Capital, or how did that work? How'd you get to Capital doing that stuff?
Yeah, I guess it was a couple of years. I mean, in 2005, I took Kilohertz online full-time and started concentrating on that. I think there was a year there where I was still kind of doing some freelance part-time stuff for KISS. And I worked on a couple of other, you know, just started to kind of vary the kind of stuff I was doing. And I, you know, was starting to get a little bit pickier about the kind of things that I was doing. It was about 2006, I think, that I got contacted by Capital to not only talk about repackaging them, but also kind of to look at the kind of styles of production that were happening in London at the time, and you know, trying to kind of pick the holes in that. And work out what was going to be the best direction for Capital. Capital, like KISS, you know, I think it came about from a similar perspective that these stations had big heritage stations, you know, huge past, and it maybe kind of the shine had come off a little bit. So it was kind of that attitude again of we want to acknowledge the past, but we don't want to revisit it. So Capital started, you know, from more a kind of a consulting and chatting kind of a role, and eventually moved in, once we kind of worked that out, eventually worked into repackaging and coming up with some ideas for that. And it was really the whole idea behind the campaign was to, like I've been saying, you know, to make it compelling, but to, you know, to have it so that there's enough mental pictures and enough colors kind of oozing out of the speakers that there's really no reason for people to be punching the dial and you know, moving around listening to other stations to try and, you know, be compelling and offer, you know, not only a kind of pop culture representation, but, you know, you, from one moment to go from to talking about the heritage of the station to have, you know, somebody from a band talk about what they like about music to having somebody yelling up at the front of their, you know, Party in the Park concert in Hyde Park. You know, all of these kind of things, working out how we could lace them together to make a one coherent piece, but at the same time, just, you know, more like a, I think, you know, there's a lot of lessons you can take from TV production. You know, they'll have practically a different bit of music, you know, in a promo, under every sentence in a TV spot, and you know, use each sentence as like, okay, this is another page. This is where somewhere different here. We've got different pitches. We've got different sounds. So it was kind of trying to follow those patterns, but once again, you know, try and give it a bit of height and also you know, try and get people a little bit emotive about it.
It seems like you're kind of not only reinventing the way you do things with every next major project, but you're just kind of reinventing someone, you know, like you say, you're sort of having to reinvent Capital FM, and you kind of did that with Kiss FM as well. Do you find it really easy for you to just kind of switch gears in life and your branding and imaging work?
No, not really. I mean, I'm definitely the kind of person that, you know, I'm no good at sitting down and kind of, you know, okay, well, we've got that that format or that sound down, now make 40 of them. I mean, I just don't like that. And I've kind of, you know, I guess because I'd been working in production for a long time before I worked at Kiss or before I did the Capital work. And I'd made myself a bit of a promise early on that I didn't want to kind of get to my late 30s, 40s and still be making weekend promos. So I like it if you can sit down and, you know, you're given enough leash to go and try some things. And, you know, they don't always work. I mean, the learning curve for Howard was probably the steepest that I've ever had to climb. And that was kind of made a little bit trickier by the fact that I didn't really have much experience with rock. I'd done rock at Triple M, but not kind of what, you know, you'd call rock in the States.
Yeah.
You know, and then to have all of those kind of limitations or restrictions of what you can't do, you know, it means you've got to dig pretty deep, and you've also got to be willing to fail. But I think, you know, at least one of the great things about production is that if you make something horrible, you can just delete it and no one has to know.
That's a good piece of advice. you mentioned Howard. Yeah, I think everybody's done that. I mean, I know for sure, and I could probably speak for a lot of people, where you think you're going in the right way and everything feels pretty good, and you get done and you're like, wow, that's horrible. What have I done?
It's plenty of times.
And you're happy to delete the session.
You know, one of the briefs, I don't know if this is talking out of school or not, but one of the briefs with Howard was, and I can't remember who it came from, but you know, once again, we're talking about, you know, no movie drops, no narration. Think of the feeling, they said. Think of that feeling in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, where Richard Dreyfuss sees the mountain at the end of the movie again. We want that feeling in 30 seconds. Oh. And you walk away going, I don't know what that is, you know.
Right.
But you've just got to start experimenting, you know.
Yeah, right. That's all, huh? You just want that in 30 seconds. Yeah. Great.
Yeah, at least Spielberg had, 2 hours to get to that point.
Yeah, you know? So let's hear a good demo here of your work for Howard Stern when he arrived, or for Sirius. This is when he arrived on Satellite.
Yeah, this has been going for the last 3 years.
Ladies and gentlemen, Radio Freedom. Who better to heal our wounded world?
Howard Stern.
Than a man who has himself been wounded and yet has miraculously risen again.
Howard 101.
Buddy, you're a young man, hard man, shouting in the street, you're gonna take on the world someday. You got blood on your face, a big disgrace, waving your banner all over the place.
Serious Satellite Radio.
We have to have guidelines.
Under God.
There's children in that audience, and they need to be protected.
The FCC's way out of whack.
Fines that could exceed $900,000.
Broadcast indecency.
Sexual trash.
Profane language.
I have sinned
Garden of Eden. Radio Freedom. Howard 100. Howard 101. Howard Stern.
Now we are in an era where I sense something different happening.
With an army of followers.
Real progress.
Keep my back.
In improving the condition of humankind.
He's the one.
Howard Stern.
Freak.
Howard 100. Howard 101.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Sirius Satellite Radio.
See you in hell.
Howard 100. Howard 101.
So there you go. Again, amazing work, the one and only Jeff Thomas. So you got the job kind of taking Howard to, I guess, for all intents and purposes, the biggest event on satellite radio. You had the job of branding it. How'd you get started with that?
It was very scary. I was very aware that, not many people know about Howard down in Australia. It's kind of one of those things that he hasn't traveled as well. But also, you know, I knew about him, and I knew that he very much had, you know, a cult following. And I was very aware that, I was serving up, to use a metaphor, I was serving up a meal to people that had been eating from the same plate for, 20 odd years. And I just knew that I couldn't help but kind of offer up a taste that was foreign to them. And so that scared the shit out of me. I mean, that was kind of a tough thing to get over. The way I got the job was it was Tim Sabian, who was the program director for Howard's channels. Before was a PD at YSP in Philadelphia, and had actually contacted me while I was in London about going to Philly around the same time that that I'd started talking to KISS, or a little bit before it actually. But after living in London, Philadelphia, London, for some reason, kind of just was a little bit too similar for me, and Los Angeles kind of offered more money, basically. But yeah, Tim remembered me and kind of had got over the disappointment in me and gave me the chance, and I guess was kind of looking at things to attack things from a little bit of outside the square regarding the Sirius channels.
They definitely had the budget, which was nice, I bet. So they were probably...
Well, they didn't have the budget because it had all been spent on Howard.
Oh, so really, I see. I guess I just assumed that since they had spent $500 million on Howard, they were going to at least spend a few $100,000 on, imaging or production quality.
Well, that's what I thought too. I mean, I know that, their setup in New York was awesome. It was the same thing. It was like, we need this to reinvent the wheel, but we don't have a lot of money. The money's gone.
Yeah, well, I could see that now. I mean, it makes sense. The money was gone. But so you're still working out of Australia, though, and now you're imaging, the Howard Stern. And you do that launch. Is it just that in kilohertz? Is that pretty much taken up your time?
Yeah. What I've been working on, trying to kind of keep kilohertz changing and evolving. I'd added a voice, categorized voice database last year to it, which is something I hadn't been doing before, which is, voice samples and IDs, and that's up to about 850 different cuts now. And this year, the concentration with kilohertz has been on beds, and just working on different kind of ways to put together pieces to be used for promos and stuff. It's great. Like I say, I've been really lucky that I can kind of vary things up a little bit now. I can pick and choose what I want to do a little more. And still, get to the beach and have a lifestyle. I think you've got to work insanely hard at the beginning of your career, but I think you also need to be very aware of at what point you can't keep on kind of going from station to station for the minimum wage, and eventually it's got to turn around and start paying for your kids and your retirement, I'm really lucky, to be able to do it down here and not have that kind of The thing that stopped me from Kiss was just the amount of time that you'd be involved in kind of the other stuff. And I found it very hard to concentrate on just the work when you were kind of being pulled in so many different directions. And now I'm at a situation where I can just get in and do the work. And if, you know, there's no distractions, I'm not having to go to lunchtime meetings or anything like that. And when the work's done, you know, if I'm finished at 2 o'clock, I'm done. I'm out of here.
Yeah, and you, I already know this, but you have your own facility that you have your studio in, which is separate from your home, and that's pretty important to you?
Yeah, I didn't want to put it at home. I've had in LA, I had a home studio in the spare room, and, you know, apart from the fact that, you know, it seems just that harder, that little bit harder to kind of get, you know, tune your room when it's a bedroom in an apartment. I really wanted to separate it. I really needed that, you know, I think that home studio thing, you can get into a habit of, you know, you're not even shaving or showering. You're kind of getting up out of bed and, you know, moping down. And, you know, it all got a bit too, I don't know. I need that separation. So now I've built a few studios since I've been back in Sydney, but this is this one has worked out really well for me. It's a big room, and you know, I've got I've still using Pro Tools, and I've got, you know, Pro Control, and I've got my different range of monitoring from Genelics down to NS10s down to KRKs, and, you know, to check everything and samplers and stuff. And you know, from the outside, you'd just think this was a factory or something from the street. So from a security point of view, that's good too.
Another one of my favorite things that has come about in the last few years is the demonstration videos that are all over the internet. You know, go to YouTube and you can see people using Pro Tools in ways that would really help people doing imaging production.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's funny when you talk about YouTube and how much creativity and the content that's on there. It's you know, when I have guys in here and we talk about production, I tend to, you know, talk about that and the fact that TV and radio no longer have the monopoly on, you know, creating content or being creative. The stuff that the audience is sending back is often better.
Yeah.
You know, and you've got programs that edit video and audio that come preloaded in a lot of computers now. So, you know, I think the bar has been raised, and you know, TV kind of saw this. TV, when they a few years back, when they started getting into things like The West Wing and CSI, and kind of realized that they were going to have to dig that much deeper. Radio kind of is, it hasn't, it's almost still to some extent, you know, as far as what they put on the air, still almost dumbing things down a little bit. You know, there's always room to kind of stretch that bit further.
Yeah, I think you were sugarcoating that a bit, because I would agree and take it further that TV has done exactly as you said, you know, raised the bar. And radio, more often than not, it's just however they can save on budget. So that bar gets lowered, and it's, you know, I mean, it's more than what you said. So,
well, you know, it's like that thing of you know, of a movie, you know, promo or movie, you know, spot on TV where they'll aim for the right side of the brain until 25 seconds, and then the left side of the brain gets that last little tag of, you know, the Fast and the Furious rated blah 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 starting blah blah blah.
Yeah.
If radio was writing it, you know, you could argue that they'd be kind of writing a spot that said, well, this movie's got 45 actors, we used 17 cameras. You know, it's kind of all at that trying to add value, but adding value in a kind of, you know, in a way that has no emotion and you know, in a lot of ways, no reason to get people excited about that.
Yeah. Completely agree. Let me get into some of your, let's see, you already said you're using Pro Tools. Are you using it on a Mac or a PC?
Yeah, I use a Mac Pro, dual core Mac Pro. I've got Pro Tools HD2 Excel, and run that through Pro Control.
And are you using Waves? You pretty much use the Waves bundle or anything else?
Yeah, I like the, I use the Waves L1 and L3. I like the Focusrite EQ. The Yuri 1176 is kind of a workhorse compressor for me. like I say, I tend to stick with the filters and the EQs and compressors more than a lot of effects. And I'll, you know, some chains, you know, I'll run five plugins on the channel, and then that'll go into a bus where there'll be another five plugins, you know, just to get a good filter. So, you know, I tend to do that and tend to play a lot with, you know, double tracking. And, you know, I don't know if you've tried the idea of, you know, kind of having your voice track on two different channels and having one slammed and one more open, and then kind of working on, you know, combining the balance between the two and that kind of stuff. So, you know, there's amazing stuff you can do now in Pro Tools that,
yeah.
or you know, most digital workstations that, that, you know, really, it's almost too much, you know, there's almost too many possibilities. You can keep on playing with it forever. But, you know, back in the analog days, you know, we were trying things, you know, the things that we'd have to try to get a better mic sound or better processing sound on the air for production. You know, we'd do things like run the voice track at half speed through the compressor so that the attacks and releases were all kind of super fast and stuff like that, and then play it back at normal speed. So digitally, the world's changed, you know.
Do you have any... Yeah, see, now I fear we could go another hour talking about all the little technical tricks. If you could give... I ask this to everybody that I interview. If you could give one key piece of advice to even this might apply to voiceover artists as well, but let's say, you know, production folk that want to be Jeff Thomas someday, what would that singular piece of advice be?
I'm not sure if there is, you know, the singular advice may be that you have to kind of be a little bit across a lot of things. And it's probably maybe not the answer you were looking for, but, you know, I think you've got to have an understanding of how songs are structured. I'm not a muso, but, you know, have studied, you know, how songs are mixed and, you know, using the room you have to place things, not only from a panned point of view, but also from a frequency point of view, and finding the right place for each part so that, you know, when it does start, you know, it just kind of oozes out of the speaker like this, you know, octopus or something just coming out to grab you. But I also think, you know, you need to do a bit of have a broad understanding of marketing. You know, some of the old recent Trout books on positioning were a great help to me. There's a great book called The Power of Cult Branding, which kind of talks about like that thing that that Howard has and Mac and Oprah, you know, this kind of mm-hmm. where your followers, you know, wear your T-shirts and are your greatest kind of advertising vehicle. And, you know, from there and then I guess, you know, if you can marry those two things together and then, you know, also a bit of a technical side of things of like, you know, reading Rap or Mix Magazine to get a bit of an understanding of you know, some of the fundamentals of audio. I think that's important too. I mean, you don't want to be intimidated by the technical side of it, because it'll always just get in your way. If you understand enough of it for you to be free of it so that you can just think about the creative and the content, you're going to be in a far better position.
Yeah, I think that right there is a really good piece of advice that hasn't been brought up before. But I think that the technical sort of, I don't know, when people get frustrated over the technical side, then their creative side gets stifled. I think you're right. That's pretty key.
Yeah. You know, it's like that thing with EQ. You hear, you know, some people talk about swapping around EQ settings and stuff like that. And I think, you know, maybe the approach is more that EQ is relevant to what you're putting in. It's not going to be the same for every voice or every bit of audio. And often, rather than trying to kind of over EQ anything, it's more kind of about taking stuff out rather than putting it in. You know, if mm-hmm. if something is too bottom heavy, or if you want a voice track, for instance, to sit in a bed, then, you know, you've got to shelve the bottom end. You otherwise, you've just got this competing kind of low end, and also, you know, it'll give too much presence to the voice track, and you won't be sitting in the mix.
Yeah, that's something good old Dave Fox taught me many, many years ago. that I've never forgotten.
Yeah, and I think, you know, some people are surprised at how much bottom end you really need to take out, but it still sits there, you know. It's like, I guess, bottom end in a voice track, if you've got kind of a bed that's pumping underneath it, you know, rather it being at 100 hertz, it's probably more at 400 or 500 hertz, you know, and the real low end is kind of coming through your music bed.
Yeah, let me get, I'm going to add just, I want to get one little tip on this here, but because people were, a specific question from Sean up in Canada was about your vocal effects chain. But let's say, the thing that's just sticking out in my head right now was your kilohertz demo with Jeff, whose name I've forgotten now again, that I emailed you about.
Jeff Collins?
Yes. You had some great...
Sorry, Jeff.
What's that?
Sorry, Jeff, if you listen.
the stuff that you were putting on his voice in your kilohertz demo, you just had that brilliant gravel, but the high pitch was so perfect. You were obviously rolling off the lows. Can you let us inside on maybe some of the EQ effects you were putting on his voice there?
I think, you know, I like to, for the kind of the full fat read, you know, it's the EQ is often just kind of, especially if your voice guy's using a good preamp. If they're not using a good preamp, you can spend a week trying to process the voice track and it's just not going to do what you want to do. But if they're using a good pre, then it, more often than not, it's just a matter of rolling off some bottom end. Then I tend to put it through an L1, and that is to try and it's not slammed, but that's to try and get the you know, that kind of weight behind it, so it's pushing forward. And then you know, I'll just come out of that with maybe some light compression on it to just kind of you know, just to tame, once again, tame the levels. And, you know, because peaks in a voice track, if you've got a voice track that's kind of peaking left, right and center on things like S's and stuff like that, that's the kind of stuff that master control won't say, hey, that's an S, I better leave that go. The hard wall, the brick wall editing and on-air processing will just chop it off and everything will start sounding like that. You know, you'll have no top end. So that's kind of how I approach that full one. Like I said, a filter... You know, I spent long time on filters and trying to get them right at KISS. And, you know, initially a filter for me was just really bad EQ. And now a filter is a lot more than that. And, you know, you want that kind of, you want to hear all the clicks. And it still needs to have bottom end a filter. But like I say, a filter now can be, you know, 10 plugins. And it can be EQ going into a L1, going into a bit of lo-fi, just to kind of, you know, rasp it up a bit. A filter, if not lo-fi, maybe into a little more EQ, maybe into a gate, and then maybe into a little bit of chorus. It depends what it is.
Basically, you're saying throw 87 different plugins on the voice, and after a while, it's going to sound like that.
You know, and then sometimes you can kind of just have three plugins on there and you've got to the same result, and you kind of look at yourself like, right, you know, well, you're just wasting time. But
you're just trying to show off.
The great thing about Pro Tools now is that, you know, you've got this headroom. You can just keep on bringing up plugins.
When you're applying plugins to the voice track, would you agree with, I think it was Ben, someone, that you want to kind of apply the EQ, the filter EQ first, and then... And then, you know, compress it or whatever, bring in your L1 or your L2 later after that?
Well, I think you have to, because if you're adding mid-range or top end or bottom end, that's going to affect how your levels work. I mean, I'm kind of old-fashioned. I work at 0 VU, which is what, minus 10 or 12 or something. So I can watch the VU meter work and see how, like, the outboard VU meter bridge, see how that operates and how fast that's moving and where the peaks and spikes are. You know, I operate at that level when I'm putting something together, and then when I'm ready to do a mix, I normalize everything and then, you know, run it through an overall processor or chain. And, I think... So it's important that you EQ first, because, you know, it can add, if you compress and then add EQ, then all of a sudden you're going to get these little kind of peaks and stuff, which are going to affect how the mix is. The other thing too with the overall processing, which I just reminded myself, is, you know, I think some people, especially when they're starting out, they leave too much to the overall, two mix processing. I think it's important to get your mix right first, and get all your levels and everything working without any overall kind of processing, and then bring in something that kind of can act as the glue, because your processing on your overall mix isn't going to do you any favors if it's just trying to control and manage the mix.
Yeah.
You know, it's not really there for the mix. It's there for the glue to make this one fat piece.
That's a good little piece of advice there as well. Well, I think I can safely say I've taken up enough of your time, Jeff. I'm going to put links to your kilohertz site. Do you have any other sites where you're kind of displaying your stuff? Is there a jeffthomasproduction.com or anything like that?
No, it's all kilohertz.com.
Okay.
There's some audio there, and the other site is, which has the a la carte effects that you can buy individually, is trailerhouseeffects.com.
Cool. Well, I'll toss those links up on the site as well. Thank you again. There goes Jeff Thomas, everybody. Thank you.
You're welcome, Ryan. It was good to talk to you.
From the pyramids of ancient Egypt and the Great Wall of China to the Panama Canal and the Taj Mahal, these wonders stand above the rest. The great wonders of the world.
We come to it at last.
It sounds like someone's exaggerating when they tell you the story. It sounds like, oh yeah, you're just making it up. No.
Prepare yourself.
Now.
A revolution.
On this Labor Day weekend comes the eighth wonder of the world.
You said you could do the impossible. Well, now's your chance.
Uncompromised.
You need that freedom.
Freedom!
Unashamed.
It really is.
I was the man.
Uncensored.
I want to know everything.
And now, unlocked.
The static is over.
This is about our show, our life, our fans.
It is miraculous.
Howard 100 and Howard 101 opens the vault.
All right, here we go.
You might consider him the King Midas of smut.
Oh, yeah.
The wildest bastard on radio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ain't no other man do it like Howard Stern could do it.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. I just don't believe it.
Ooh. Oh, great.
Uh-oh.
You guys are sick.
You got a normal penis?
What happened here was a miracle, and I want you to fucking acknowledge it.
All right.
Somebody fell down. It looks like they might have cracked their head open.
It's hot.
I am Fartman.
Have you had gay sex?
Yeah, I've had gay sex.
Hello, airwave polluter.
I am no longer a nice guy on this show.
I bought the house and put you to work.
I'm going to eat your face.
You fat bastard.
Everybody calm down.
The Howard Stern All Request Weekend. The teams are home.
There it is, part number two of the Jeff Thomas interview in the can. Obviously, that last stuff there was a pretty major trailer piece for Stern's tapes coming to Sirius, as you heard. I played all the audio today pretty much in its entirety, with the exception of the Virgin, the Virgin launch piece, because that thing is like an hour, I think. So now I've got a much longer chunk of that, and I'm posting that on the website. As always, for anything related to the episodes, just hit the podcast page, and then there's a drop-down thing for the podcast show notes. My site died a while back, but I've been bringing it back to life, and I think most of those episode notes and whatnot are back up. Should be pretty much all there. Jeff Thomas gave me some really cool stuff to post, some screenshots for some of his sessions, and he pretty much opened every single plugin on a session and took a shot of it. And yeah, it's pretty crazy. He has a lot of things going on at one time, but that'll be fun to kind of dive into and take a look at. Let's see here. Upcoming. Two things I want to mention. I've been trying to get hooked up with Corley, Chris Corley. Our schedules, well, really, it's his schedule. He's got, a million things to do, and he voices lots of stations and trailers and TV promo, also news and all that. So but he's up for doing the interview, so we're gonna have that very shortly. So that'll be the next interview I post. And then a really cool one that I'm looking forward to will be the guys out in L.A. at CBS L.A. The guy who I've talked to, a very good guy, very talented, Jake Kaplan. He is there at KRQ, the Amp Station, the new Amp Station. That is, you know, they're doing their top 40 thing there in L.A. against the Kiss FM. But hey, man, battle, competition's always good for radio. Also, they got Jack FM out there. So we're going to get a group interview. But I'm having Jake sort of set up with those guys. And then we're going to have, you know, sort of like a little roundtable deal. We'll dive into some big-time VO and radio imaging, because those guys do it all. And they are pretty much at the top of their game. So that's something else to look forward to as well. If you've got any questions to submit, please do so. Again, Jake Kaplan, Mike Crank, and the other guy, I'm forgetting it right now, but I'll have it posted in an email. If you want to get on my email list, always hit me up on the website as well. My email address is there, and then I can keep you updated on future guests, and you can contribute to the show. And if you have specific questions for specific guests, you can do that. Or if you have specific guests you'd like to hear an interview with, I ain't scared to ask anybody to come on this little deal. So, you know, send them to me. Otherwise, if you're just looking for better ways to connect to the podcast, I think there's 50 or 60 different podcatcher links on the main link on my site there, the podcatcher link. Click that. It'll pretty much do it up however you want to do it up. For now, one more time, thanks to Jeff Thomas, and thank you for checking this out and supporting it, and hopefully you're getting something very valuable out of it. And otherwise, I'll say bye.
The producers. Send your questions, feedback, guest requests, love, and of course, constructive criticism to show@ryanontheradio.com. Episodes available through iTunes, other podcast sites, and ryanontheradio.com. We thank our guests for their expertise and time. We thank you for listening.